back in on Canuck Central. Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah here in the Mobile Kintech studio. And happy Wednesday to you and yours. And the Canucks will get back to action tomorrow, a 4:30 start. So to amend my previous mistake, because I know my schedule inside and out, which is why I got this wrong earlier.
yeah, you never get schedules wrong, Reed.
Canucks and St. Louis Blues tomorrow at 4:30. That means Canucks Central will be on at 2 o'clock, an hour and a half show, and then the pregame starts at 3:30 going into the 4:30 puck drop in St. Louis between the Canucks and Blues for what is a playoff-esque game. I mean, I know there's still a bunch of games left after this one, but if you lose to the Blues tomorrow, it's going to make your chances of going to the playoffs, it's going to decrease them significantly. So let's just put it that way. All right, it's a Wednesday, so let's get to overrated, underrated. Overrated, underrated, perfectly rated. You give us topics. We decide if they are one of those three things. Like, for example, golfing with your boss's dad. Overrated or underrated?
I wouldn't know.
Have you done that, Reach?
Yes, I have. It happened yesterday. I got randomly paired up with John Barra at King's Links.
How long did it take for you to find out?
I think we figured it out like the eighth hole.
Eighth hole. So
yeah,
it took a while.
It was a while. We were like pretty much at the turn.
How did it come up? Where do you work?
Yep. it came up. We were playing and he was talking to the guy I was golfing with, and then he said, "Oh yeah, my son runs the Sportsnet station." He's like, "Oh, so he's that guy's boss." It's great.
You get some good dirt on him.
Yeah.
From his dad.
Man, I can't believe what a terrible son Canberra is. It's unbelievable.
Really? Wow.
That's so untrue. I actually said to him, like, you know, your son doesn't have a bad bone in his body. It's pretty incredible. But he's also like way better golfer than Cam. So
really?
It's good for John.
So, you know? I mean, Cam doesn't have a bad bone in his body. Yeah. Does he also not have a golf bone in his body?
Probably not. And his partner, Manjeet, he was also a really good golfer.
Really?
Yeah.
So you guys.
Unbelievable.
So you guys
was just striping it down the fairway.
Was it chilly? Did you guys get out right
yeah,
away?
Yeah, it was a chilly one.
It was cold. Yeah.
Golfing in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Overrated, underrated. Anyways.
This isn't related, but it seems like as you get older, like your golf game just skyrockets.
Yeah.
Like older guys.
You know, that's pretty much how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you just hit a certain age and you're like watching all kinds of golf tip videos, like, you know. David Ledbetter or whatever his name is just like he just becomes like part of your Sunday routine.
The only Ledbetter I know is the yellow one.
Yeah. All right, let's get to it. Overrated, underrated, perfectly rated. Underrated, golfing with your boss's dad. Underrated.
You have no choice but to say that.
Yeah.
So power play was looking pretty good last night.
Yeah.
No Garland, so Lekkerimäki on PP1. Overrated, underrated. Lekkerimäki on power play one.
I mean, underrated for a night. I mean, so having a shot, that's a threat from that circle,
underrated.
From the left circle, especially a right-handed shot, is under, well, I don't know if it's underrated. It's important.
Okay.
You can't call it overrated.
It is underrated. We talked about this on the pregame show yesterday.
Mm-hmm. They're better without Garland.
They are.
I'm just kidding.
Garland's had a really nice season for the Canucks. At times, he's been the Canucks' best forward this season, especially earlier on. So I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to crush the guy, but he shouldn't be on your top power play either. You know? He could play net front, maybe. He's been good in those spots, but, again, DeBrusque is probably a better option there.
He scored a lot of goals there. Yeah. Besser can score from there.
Besser's a good option
Garland,
at the net front.
I like Garland being the focal point on power play two. Sure, get out there, power play two, you can kind of run the show. Do that.
But you know, two things that I saw against, I mean, the two things that I pointed out on the pregame in the Utah situation with those power plays was like, you can't get entries. And even when you do, they don't worry about anything other than Hughes and Pettersson.
Yeah.
So it's like all of a sudden you get another threat on one of the flanks and it opens up that bumper spot. So Hughes has a shooting lane to get something off from the point. And Brock is there and it doesn't have his stick tied up. He can get a clean look at the tip. I mean, it just spaces out the whole entire offensive zone for you to have more ice to work with as a power play unit. And I think that's a big reason it worked last night.
Yeah, and it also worked because Pedersen was able to get a couple seam passes.
Yeah.
And when you're able to go from circle to circle across seam like that, it gets everybody moving. And you do that enough times, you create enough space, and they took advantage of it.
Woodrow, it's underrated, and it should continue, like Ermaki, even when Garland returns.
This one's from Shane. The statement, Elias Pedersen is back. Overrated, underrated?
Probably overrated.
Whew.
No, because I think it's overrated, because I think we keep trying to use it. People keep trying to use it. I mean, people are so thirsty for the John Wick meme,
yes.
Right? Being back again, like him yes. being back. So I think it's being overused. It's overrated because it's been trying. We've been talking about this for months, right? Is he back? Is this the moment that he's back? So I think the discourse is overrated. His impact, obviously, the better he is, is always going to be rated, maybe even underrated based on how his season has gone. But the whole notion of him being back, quote unquote, is overrated because I still think he can be better. He has a 5-game point streak, looks a lot better, but we know what the best of Elias Pedersen looks like, and I don't think he's there yet.
I'm thinking I'm back. Is that the John Wick reference yeah. everybody's making? Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
It's a good one. I've made it in the past.
Yeah, I think it's underrated because it's overrated, sorry, because we've used it so many times this year to hoping that he's actually back, and it hasn't really worked out, so now I'm just kind of over it. You
but
know?
He is, okay, so whether he's quote-unquote back, because I think back was signal that he's back to being elite Pedersen.
Yeah.
I don't think he's elite Pedersen.
He still doesn't look like a top 10 center in the league to me, which he has in the past.
But he's looked a lot better, mm-hmm. and this is the best he's looked all season, mm-hmm. and he's certainly playing at a high level. And he can take it even higher. And I hope he takes it even higher. If he does that, then we can say he's truly back.
Can you take me higher?
No.
No?
No. Okay. I'm not doing that with you.
all right. What's next?
This one's from Lorenzo. Overrated, underrated, Hronek not being paired with Quinn Hughes.
Well, should we just play the open?
I believe, Zoe, we think this is underrated. Am I allowed to call him Zoe? Is that weird?
I mean, well, it's up to Zoe to tell.
Are we friends like that, Zoe?
I would say that.
Lorenzo?
I would say listeners who text in and regularly interact with us are like friends. Like we're close. Like we're not, you know, we're not on a name by name basis in our private lives, but professionally. I have people tell me, they're like, I listen to you. I hear you more than I hear like people that I'm best friends with. And
yes.
like, you know, part of my family because I listen to you guys when I'm working. Things like that. So there is an intimate relationship, so I think it's okay, Reach.
All right. Zoe, I think it's underrated.
Okay.
From Justin and East Van, overrated, underrated, reprogramming EP40's brain.
Honestly, because so many people are against it, I think it's underrated. Honestly, I'm on it. It's underrated.
I don't know if it's underrated. I still think all that stuff's like overrated. I think it's overrated again because of the discourse it generates. Like you listen to the whole clip and what, you know, Talk is speaking about. Like, it's what all coaches talk about, right? Yeah. It comes off, I think, a bit more negative and like, are you trying to ruin this guy again?
Yeah.
You know, when he mentions it. But I do think the whole idea of reprogramming people is somewhat overrated, that whole idea. Like, people are kind of what they are. And I think you should allow people to be the best versions of themselves. But obviously, yes. I mean, the quicker you get to the offensive zone, the better, generally.
I'm in for it because Pedersen obviously had some things going on earlier this season affecting him on the ice. He's got to figure it out. You can have a slump as a player, but a year-long slump? No, that's can't be having that. So we got to figure this
out. Couldn't he have just said, like, we're changing his mindset instead of reprogramming his brain?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
so
it's
been intense.
This is not a criticism of Talkit, but Talkit.
It's not a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah,
you know?
So this is not a criticism of Talkit, but I think we've had him around. Like he has I don't mean he has a limited vocabulary in that he doesn't know a lot of words, but I think he keeps it pretty simple with how he gets his message across, especially yes. when he's speaking publicly. So I think that's just like how Talkit speaks.
Yeah,
you know,
it's Talkit talk.
Yeah,
and I don't know.
He's a program guy.
Yeah. You're just disagreeing with the way that he's phrasing it, and I think we're all on the same page of how they're trying to get a better version out of Elias Pedersen.
From Mike the Urologist, the prospect of this team playing at last night's level for an entire playoffs. Overrated, underrated?
Well, if the playoffs is like six games, I mean, yes.
You'd have to get 16 of those.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm saying it's just six games, that means you're not even getting out of the first round. But it's I think it's still too soon to really talk about what the Canucks can or can't be in the postseason still. But I don't disagree that, like...
Can they play like this for the next 2 weeks?
They kind of have to.
Yeah.
If they do, you feel good about them going to the playoffs. Not that they're going to go and win the Stanley Cup or anything, but that they're more than just a team that's going to get trounced in the first round.
Yeah. You know, there was a part of me last night that's like, so you're telling me if the Canucks get in, this is their first round opponent?
Winnipeg Jets?
Like these guys? The guys they're playing here tonight? Or that would be their first round?
Is like kombucha meme? Kombucha girl?
Like, I don't know. Maybe. You know, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It's over, like, to the listener's question. It is overrated because we've seen the Canucks be able to put together really good performances this season, but they're one-offs.
Yeah, and I think ultimately...
Until they do more than that, it's going to be overrated.
And ultimately, I just don't think they have the ceiling to win a Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah.
They just don't have that ceiling. Now, we've seen teams like the Canucks go on runs and get to the Cup Final. Even Montreal in the bubble year got to a Cup Final.
Yeah.
That Montreal team wasn't a legit contender. They found a way to get there. Can something like that happen? Sure. But eventually, you're going to run into an opponent that you're not going to be able to beat. And that's kind of what I see the Canucks being as, that, you know, they're ultimately not a net cup contending team this year.
I feel like the Canucks are kind of like they're kind of like a Cameron Young kind of a golfer. You know, you can go low one day. You could shoot a 59 at round three of the Travelers Championships, but put it together for a whole week on a major weekend.
That's difficult.
Good luck.
Yeah, maybe the first two or three days.
Yeah.
And then day four is going to fall apart.
That's the Canucks. You know, they can go low on a day. They can shoot a 59. They got it in them.
Yeah.
But put it together for the whole season? No, not this version of the Canucks. Not from what I've seen, at least.
This one from KD. The Canucks scoring 6 goals against the best goalie in hockey, let alone best team in the league post Bic Bino era. Overrated, underrated.
Do you know the Bic Bino reference?
I saw it, and he knocked down the shelf here.
So it's the opposite of the curse of the Bambino, because the Canucks have never won a Stanley Cup.
He knocked down a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and now it's the next game, the Canucks take down the Giant. They take down the Winnipeg Jets. Best team in the league. Best goalie in the league. I feel it's a reverse curse.
So it's like a blessing?
Yeah.
It's got to be underrated.
It's going to be for 1-0.
If this continues, man, the legend of the Bic Bino.
It's only going to
be unbelievable.
Yeah.
The video is at sportset.ca on Twitter if you haven't seen it.
This one's from Mike. We saw it last night. He's looking pretty good and doesn't get as many minutes as he might with the Vancouver Canucks. Nikolaj Ehlers fit as a Canuck. Overrated, underrated?
Oh, overrated.
So I
fit because I don't think Ehlers has any intention of signing north of the border again.
Okay, fair enough. But as far as fit, as far as like on ice though.
Yeah. Fit on ice? Underrated.
I would say that too. And so he's not obviously the big physical type of forward you want to see. But I think that Ehlers, between him and Besser, I think he would provide more speed and a different look that the Canucks are missing, for instance, that I like better. So I think offensively, especially off the rush, and just his overall shot and ability to create, I think he could look good alongside Elias Pettersson, a guy that likes to shoot the puck as well.
Yeah.
Right? So I think on ice fit, I like Nick Ehlers. But ultimately, I just don't feel good about being able to land any free agent. Not because the Canucks aren't a team that, you know, can't draw free agents, but there's so few of them that the bidding for these guys, like, they have so much choice and so much money going out, you know, being thrown at them, that it just doesn't put the Canucks in an advantageous position.
Part of me, like, my glass half empty take on Nick Ehlers is that he's a bit of a helicopter.
Mm.
Like, no matter who he plays with, he's going to be the same guy kind of thing. Like, he doesn't elevate your top six. He's just, this is Nick Ehlers. This is who he's going to be. This is always who he is. He's going to have great hot streaks. He's going to have some defensive moments where you're like, don't love that. But there's going to be a lot of nights where he scores some incredible goals and does some great things because he's got a speed and skill that just most players aren't really able to get to. But I do feel like there's a helicopter element to him where, like, is he a fit with Elias Pettersson? Do you want Ehlers and Filip Hedl playing together? They're kind of the same. Like, they do similar things in that way where they like to carry the puck. That would be my glass half empty take on Nick Ehlers. But overall, I'd still think he'd raise the general level of the Canucks. So
this one's from Andre. Brock Besser never scoring 40 again. Overrated, underrated?
I never want to say never.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a, like, I'm not betting on him scoring 40 again. I'm not saying he can't and he won't, but that's not what I'm betting on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm betting on him having probably multiple 30-goal years.
Right. What if he were to, like, sign in Minnesota and be able to play with, like, Kirill Kaprizov next year or something?
Aren't they both right-wingers?
Ah, Kaprizov can play both wings,
I suppose. But I'm just saying, like,
never scoring 40 again, I would say underrated take in that I agree with you. The 40-goal season we saw from Brock was sort of his ceiling as a player. But, I mean, I still see this guy as being somebody that scores 30 for the majority of the next 4 years.
So Kaprizov mainly plays left wing.
Yeah.
So it works perfectly.
There it is.
Basketball Phil, a little March Madness question. Watching college basketball from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. tomorrow and Friday. Overrated, underrated?
Oh, yeah, the bracket. Yeah. Have you done yours?
No.
Are you doing one?
I've quit on the bracket. Yeah. I'm good.
Quit on the bracket?
I quit on the bracket. I'm good. I get invited to all these brackets. I'm throwing $5, $10 at people. It's just like, I'm just throwing money away. I may as well just burn money.
I've never heard disgust in someone's voice just like when I heard Elon be like, you quit the bracket.
Well, I mean, you basketball, Phil, this is obviously underrated. The first round is the best round.
I'm not saying I don't like watching. I'm saying I don't love filling out my bracket anymore. I've gotten past that stage. I just want to, like, tune in on the first round when there's games everywhere. It's like, oh, we got an upset over here in the Midwest. Let's go. And it's like, wow, this is crazy. I've never heard of this team.
McNeese.
St. John's is a one seed. What's going on?
McNeese, you know? State.
So that's what I love about March Madness.
No, I really enjoy March Madness, and I used to love geeking out on the bracket. I spend, like, hours going through it. I just don't have the time for it. So if I can't do it the way I used to do it, I just don't feel right doing it. And I hate just, like, blindly picking a bracket. So we'll see. We'll see what I get up to tonight when I get home.
Man, Sat and I have gotten old real quick.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm over here all excited.
Elon's so disappointed.
I know. Four brackets going.
All right. So I used to do, like, multiple brackets too.
Let's hear more about Elon's bracket. I wanna know what your bracket's looking like.
Nobody cares about my bracket.
No.
Who do you have winning?
Nobody cares about anybody's bracket. Really.
Well, I got a very chalky pick here. I'm picking Duke.
Duke to win. Okay. Yeah. All right. So what's your final four?
What's going on with Cooper, though? Is he going to be okay? How's his ankle?
Yeah, I don't think his ankle's good, but, you know, Duke's a good team without him. So you get him back in any capacity. But you know what? I pick teams like that every year with good NBA talent, and they never end up winning. Like Zion, RJ, Cam Reddish bounced round of 16.
Yeah.
It's tough to pick.
Yeah. And there's some Canadians involved. Like, Gonzaga's always fun. They have Canadian players, too. I'm always partial to Gonzaga.
I'm more of a Duke guy, just remembering from my Christian Laettner days.
I love Duke.
Damn, and, you are old.
J.J. Redick. I don't know why I was a big J.J. Redick guy when he was at Duke.
Man, see, it's so funny.
The guy, like, just hit every shot. It was unbelievable.
So I'm so old, when I think of Duke, I don't even think so much about J.J. Redick. I think of, like, Grant Hill.
See, March Madness, I think of Jimmer Fredette, BYU.
Oh, yeah. Jimmer Fredette, that's a name I didn't
Nothing
expect.
But net.
You only hear a Jimmer Fredette reference during March Madness.
So we'll move on here. This one's from producer Dom Shermati. Overrated, underrated, this year's Masters Club dinner menu. So I'll read out the menu for you guys. Scottie Scheffler, the recent winner of the Masters. Yeah. Appetizer, Scottie-style cheeseburger sliders and firecracker shrimp. with a side of Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites.
Yep.
First course, Texas-style chili.
First course. I'm already
main
KO'd.
Course, cowboy ribeye or black and red fish.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we'll just go to dessert, warm chocolate chip skillet cookie.
Oh, man, that sounds terrific.
It's a very American menu.
It is. It sounds really good, though. I remember being in Texas and having a meal like that in Dallas, and it was really good.
Scotty is, he's done it big for his second Green Jacket, his second Masters dinner. I mean, you had me at the Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites. With a little bit of pecorino cheese and tomato basil sauce, as it says on the menu. And then you pair the wood-fired cowboy ribeye with macaroni and cheese, jalapeno creamed corn, soy-glazed Brussels sprouts, chipotle lime roasted sweet. Who's going to this dinner and being able to put up a low score on Thursday at the Masters?
The dinner's on Wednesday?
I'm pretty sure it's on the Wednesday, April 8th.
Yeah, imagine eating all that and trying to play golf the next day.
You know what? This is either a great thing. Like, Scotty's just going to sneak out, and he's going to be like, okay, so it's a few days before the Masters begins. But in any case, I feel like this is a strategy by Scotty to throw his opponents off. And after I saw it, I was like, man, anybody at this dinner isn't going to be able to perform at their highest level. So we're getting a first-time Masters champion this year. Hello, Rory McIlroy. Right? No? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody with me? Just won the Players.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm rooting for Rory.
Gold jacket, green jacket. Who gives up? did you guys see the Happy Gilmore 2 trailer?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Do you think it'll be good, though?
Probably not.
No?
Probably not.
Overrated. Good trailer. Overrated, underrated. Good movie trailers.
Yeah. Good movie trailers. Honestly, if your movie trailer, if you've got a good movie trailer and it's on a lot, like if your ad budget for the movie is big, it's probably going to be a bad movie.
Yes.
Am I like?
I do not disagree.
This is like universally known, is it not?
Yes.
If this commercial or the trailer of your movie is on every stop set on television, it's probably a bad movie. Although I don't think movies get that kind of ad budget anymore.
No, it's like word of, it's all like viral marketing.
Yeah.
And all these other things that they get up to try to do. A lot of interviews.
Yeah.
Getting people out there. That's how they market.
Yeah, I just want to end on this one quick. Yeah. Meech, what do you think about TGL Golf? Is that overrated or underrated? Oh. You've been watching that on Sportsnet?
Honestly, some like when the matches have been close, they're kind of fun. But it's... The best part of it is the interaction of the players. It's kind of like how if you love curling, you love watching curling because the way they strategize in between each and every shot and those kinds of things. That's what I kind of love about TGL and seeing some of those things happen. I mean, it's been pretty good. I know the ratings like on ESPN.
The crowd's good. A lot of celebrities there. Josh Allen was there.
Yeah. So like you get a lot of that. And I mean, golf is just so in right now.
Golf is so in right now.
It's crazy.
Golf
man.
Is so hot right now.
It is. Yeah. See the numbers on the Players Championship? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And Tiger.
See
like,
some of those YouTube channels? Those things are juggernauts, man.
And Tiger is being put out the pasture too. So it's like they're still having success.
Who knew it was going to be a bunch of amateur golfers on YouTube that are the thing that saved golf from Tiger's career being over?
Amazing, isn't it? It's But it just shows you, like, you know, ways to reach people and ways to get people involved in the game.
Yeah. I can't imagine people wanting to watch me play golf. But then there I am watching Trent try to break 90, you know.
Trying to break 90 and it's like, wow. What? I think it's a relatability aspect of all this, right?
100%.
It's like, if he can do it, maybe I can do it.
Yeah. Man, when I was watching JJ Spahn fly the green on the playoff, I was like, that's me. I feel like I hit a great shot. It's like, how did that end up in the hazard? What happened? Just sitting there bewildered. All right.
The hazard. I'm very, very familiar with the hazards.
Just ask Cam's dad how much I love water on the golf course because I was swimming all day yesterday.
Reach likes to stay hydrated.
All right, coming up, get some overrated, underrated overflow and a lot more. As we close out Canuck Central, I'm good.
Quit on the bracket.
I quit on the bracket.